Can I welcome Helen Chan and Heidi Matters to talk about their experience in relation to leadership and retaining ECTs and educators of that service? Thanks.
Hi everyone. I'm Helen. I'm one of the ECTs and also the director at University Preschool and Childcare Centre. And today I've got with me Heidi, who's one of our ECTs as well. So Heidi's been with our service for 3 years. So today, yeah, we'll be sharing some of the staff recruitment and retention strategies that have been successful for us at UPCCC. I'll be speaking to the strategies from a leadership standpoint, and Heidi will talk to the strategies that, as an ECT, that she's found important. So we hope this presentation will give you some insight into some solutions that may work in your context. So a little bit about us. We've been operating for 54 years. We're located on near Lake Burley Griffin on the ANU campus. We're a standalone centre, a non-for-profit community-based centre, and we're operated by a parent management committee. So in our team, we've got 30 educators, 8 of those are ECTs, 3 which we have upskilled over the years. We've got 50% of our staffing team as diploma trained and the remainder are certificate 3s. So overall, we've got a really highly qualified team. One of the other strengths in our team is that we have a high retention of staff. So 10 years is probably our average for our educators. We have some educators who've been there, so some quite early in their career, but then also kind of ranging up to 50 years. So that's pretty special for us. Especially when the current turnover is 3 years. So where we kind of started, it was about 5 years ago, I think, we had about 3 ECTs. It was the director, the preschool teacher, and then we had an ECT also in the toddler room. So really we kind of had a good foundation already. We had things like additional personal leave, study leave, and we paid educators above award or as well. We also had a good budget allocated towards professional development, and the centre closed for 2 days of the year, and that was a whole centre professional development day. But the challenge for us, I think, having a parent-led management committee was that they would change every year. So every year, whenever we started talking about budgets, setting fees for the next year, well, we had our AGM, you know, we had these questions from the parents that would be, you know, do we need that many educators? Do we need that many qualified educators? Can we cut down on some? So really that was the challenge for us, because it was clear that we had a difference in understanding of what quality was. So for me, it was kind of going back to basics and creating that shared understanding with our committee. Went back to our philosophy and what that was about and some of the values that we had as a centre. It was really sharing the information about why recruiting highly qualified staff was important, why ECTs were important, and then how retention and consistency in staffing would positively impact the children. So some of all the basic things that you guys know, we had to kind of share this with our committee and parents. So one of the things we did was really kind of look at the audience that we had. So for our context, it was a lot of academics. We had a lot of parents at the ANU who are researchers and lecturers. So anything research and evidence-based, they loved. Whereas for some other services, you might need to summarise it for families and things like that, but they loved getting research. So that was great for us. So we shared research on, you know, the benefits of smaller groupings. So not, you know, not just increasing classes to whatever it was, big numbers. We talked about the child ratios and why that was important compared what it looked like in other countries and things like that. And then one of the other things we did was look at the challenges educators faced across the sector. So we shared, you know, CEQA snapshots and things like that, some of the workforce strategies with our committee. And so I was sharing these through the monthly reports that I would have with the committee meetings. We also shared, we did comparisons between, say, other services, what conditions and pay and things like that they were offering, and also then the ACT government schools, what they were offering, and some of the other private schools as well. So we had a whole, range of things that other services were offering. And then one of the other things we did was do an internal survey of our kind of staff. So while, yes, there were challenges that the whole sector was facing, we wanted to find out more about what our educators were facing. And we shared the data with our families on the committee. Some of the questions included, in the last 12 months, have you considered leaving the service? So that's, and we had 62% of educators say yes. So even though we had a high retention of staff, there were things that they were struggling with. So we looked closely at that data, and we found, obviously the challenges that many of our educators were facing weren't just unique to us. Low pay, everyone agrees with that. We had educators taking on second jobs, so that was quite stressful. Professional identity, educators were saying we weren't feeling recognised. They were being compared to teachers in the ACT preschools. So just little things like that. Long hours, overworked, not feeling supported. I'm sure you can all relate to some of these comments. So we were also competing, with the private kind of services and then the ACTW schools as well for our ECTs. And some of the comments were really hard to hear. They were honest, but as a service leader, when, you're trying hard as well, they were difficult to hear. I knew these weren't, unique to us, and it was everyone was kind of feeling the same. So in that, we really looked into our strategic planning. The committee and I wrote into the plan goals such as, we're going to champion early childhood education. We were going to invest in professional development to support and upskill staff and establish networks with the early childhood profession. So these were things that we were committed to. So we wrote that in, and, with that kind of just evolved, I guess. We had these medium and long-term plans, goals, but we kind of started with some things that were more cost-effective and that could be implemented more immediately. So some of the things were quite easy, pretty simple. One of them was as simple as just sharing with staff that we were having these conversations behind the scenes with the committee. To them that was important because they felt like they were being heard. So at staff meetings, I would say, we're reviewing the wages, we're reviewing maybe conditions or programming time. Just some of those little bits and pieces was enough to make them feel valued, and that was one of the things that they didn't feel acknowledged. So to address some of the stress from workload, there was a common one that came through in our surveys. We streamlined our documentation to reduce the workload, so we looked at what was actually in the regulations that we needed to do, what pieces of documentation we just kind of added on top as it came out. So we culled that down to what we, really needed and made sure it was quality and met all the quality areas. We implemented a distributed leadership model so that everyone was involved, because that was one of the comments from the survey, was that it was always often the room leaders that was doing all the documentation and the planning and things like that. So we really looked at that and upskilling everybody. And then we shared planning time between all the educators. And little things like creating templates for emails or assessments and things like that. So it just made it really easy for the educators to do, and it wasn't something that they had to spend half an hour doing. Support services support systems was another thing that we really focused on. So in team leader meetings, it really changed to focusing on supporting each other. You know, we were brainstorming. There were brainstorming sessions where we might talk about challenges that educators had maybe with a particular family or a particular child. Staff meetings turned into workshops where we'd upskill all educators. So it might be a focus on the planning cycle, for example, or, you know, how to write a summative assessment. And then there was lots of mentoring that was happening. So our educators then worked one-on-one with the educational leader or myself, and we would go through things like, you know, how to talk to a family who you might need to broach a difficult discussion with. So we'd role play and work through those things. So it was making the time for some of those little things that each individual educator might have found a little bit more difficult. And then we increased opportunities for networking. So signed up our ECT for the preschool associations. So they catch up every quarter. We encourage our educators to connect with other educators from different services, and then also through centre visits and things like that as well. And then there was another issue, I guess, one of the educators raised was that they wanted more support from the leadership team. So that was, you know, that was directly for me. So they felt, I guess, some of the not everybody contributes fairly. I think that's probably a common one that everyone's experienced as well. So we looked at our grievance policies and reviewed those and made sure that we were addressing staff performance effectively. And we changed the way we did our staff appraisals to continual learning plans, so which really focused on individual growth. So we fostered passion projects. So one educator might be really interested in sustainability, for example, and so they'd look into all the different things that they wanted to learn more about, and we allowed, you know, our educators the autonomy to pick how they wanted that professional development to be delivered. So some educators preferred face-to-face, whereas some educators wanted all the research and just to read. So what and one more other thing I learnt later was that setting high expectations act as a motivator for a lot of our ECTs. So when you've got staff who've been there for a long time, what keeps them there? It's that continual growth, I think, that sometimes they crave. So for some educators, it was encouraging them to upskill and, you know, go on to their diploma or go on to do their degree. So we would send through all the information from Seeker, you know, with the early childhood degree scholarships and in job opportunities and things like that. So we've had three educators who been successful in the early childhood degree scholarship, which is awesome. We give educators feedback on assignments. I give them lots of support and things like that. Also critical thinking, of those professional discussions that you have, those are kind of they're the things that keep our educators, you know, motivated. Another thing we did with our ECTs was we started implementing some of the TQI teacher standards into that continual learning our continual learning plans. So we use that, and they self-reflect on where they are, where they think they might need to work a little bit more on. And also with the number of hours in professional development, we've already implemented all those. So they're really kind of in a good position when registration comes out. With that professional development, I think it's looking at some of the higher quality stuff, training that's available. So we would send our educators to some of the ECA conferences. There's the Inspire conference and some of the overseas trips and things like that as well. So they're kind of some of the strategies, but I think really for me it's actually the little things, the everyday things that make the difference. It's creating that culture of care, you know, sharing family feedback. So sometimes I'll get emails where families are just very positive about how their child has settled. So I think it's, you know, that's plastered in the staff room so that everyone can see. And then, you know, I was also share that with the committee as well. We have a gratitude jar where we're just acknowledging the little things that educators do day to day. And it might just be, you know, helping with a yard check, you know, that kind of thing. And then we've also implemented the recognition of the years of service for our staff as well. We've got also, address the team as the team. So again, those team building kind of things just make it, you feel like you've got a bit more support behind you, I think, is probably what I'm trying to say. And just making time to check in. So each morning we'll do a little walk around and just make sure everyone's okay, if they need a hand with anything. Yeah, that kind of thing. So just making sure that they're heard and that you're available. So, yeah, listening is probably a big thing I would recommend. And just letting them know that you're on their side, really. Yeah. So for me as a leader, we came from a place where, you know, we wanted to cut it down on educators and increase numbers in rooms. We then kind of got to a point where we were able to increase our wages. So we changed from a dollar amount to a percentage where that would then continue to grow each year. One of the other things, a significant moment for us, was last year when our management committee closed for the day and encouraged all our educators to attend the family-friendly rally last year. And so that was a pretty special moment where we had our families kind of stand alongside our educators attending that. But yeah, so there's still a lot to do, but there's some of the strategies that have kind of worked for me. Yeah, and I'll pass you on to Heidi, who will talk a little bit more and go into detail about some of those things.
Yeah. My own journey at university preschool began in January 2020 as a fourth year university student in the nursery. When arranging my placement with Helen, she warned me that January would be a busy time, with educators settling new children and families into the year. And at that time, they would also be undergoing assessment and rating, but she believed it would be good experience as these challenging moments showcase the team's strengths. She wasn't wrong. In January that year, Canberra experienced bushfires and poor air quality due to the smoke. The centre went through assessment and rating. We had that hailstorm. And not long after that, COVID began. Observing the team during this time, the teamwork, the respect and leadership and genuine care for one another as everyone made sure others were okay while caring for the children and families and making sure they were okay as well, I had decided that this was a team and a centre that I would like to be part of. So when the opportunity arose and Helen offered me a job as an ECT at the end of my placement, I accepted. We are lucky to have 8 early childhood teachers. As Helen just said, 6 of us have completed our degrees and 2 are still working towards. The length of time that we've been with university preschool varies from 1 year through till 12 years. In preparation for today, we asked each of our ECTs and some of our long-serving educators what has kept them at the centre. We found that what was important to each of us was actually quite similar. The culture and values of the service, opportunities for networking, the team, and the opportunities that we had for our own professional growth. It was important to each of us that the centre values aligned with our own. We feel that management and the parent committee values its educators and puts its people first. We matter. We feel respected and recognised and valued as people as well as employees. The culture at the centre is professional, positive, trusting and supporting of one another, and we have a sense of belonging. Opportunities for networking was something we all appreciated. Having a large team of ECTs and experienced educators to network with has strengthened relationships and collaboration. Being able to share ideas with one another brainstorm, seek support, feedback or assistance is valuable, while also providing opportunities to have deeper discussions and share different views and opinions. We all contribute to one another's professional learning and development. On the ANU campus, there are four centres, and at times we have opportunities to come together. Like each year in July, a day is set aside as a staff development day, and all four centres attend for a day of professional development. This year also, Heritage organised a professional development training with Wiradjuri Echoes and invited our educators to come along. And over the years, we've also hosted training, including Louise Porter, Mark Armitage, Restrictive Practices, and educators from the other ANU centres have also come along. As Helen said, all of our ECTs are members of the Preschool Association. So when there's a meeting that we are interested in, cover is provided to enable us to attend for the afternoon. This supports our ECTs to network and engage in professional learning along with other centres and teachers from local government schools. Career growth and professional development was important to us. University preschools invest in us through training programs, mentorship, and advancement opportunities. As part of our regular performance reviews, we work with leadership to develop our own continual learning plans. This is based on our strengths, our interests, and what we feel we need. Our staff meetings are used as training opportunities to build the whole team's professional knowledge rather than just housekeeping. Helen, our educational leader Kira, or an external organisation delivers training. This year, we've had visits from SunSmart, Thunderstone, ACT Snake Removals, and Red Nose. So the in-house training is chosen and delivered based on educator requests, identified areas that could be improved, or our quality improvement goals. Providing this training through the staff meetings provides the whole team with information and upskills everyone. The whole team is continually learning and extending ourselves. Everyone contributes to the delivery of the program and to documentation, and the responsibility is not just left to the teacher. The Centre subscribes to online learning hubs and websites, and all educators are able to access these. Textbooks, magazines, newsletters, autobiographies, and articles are sourced and available for all educators to access. We are a very diverse team, and where possible, articles and books are available in other languages. Our leaders are knowledgeable and passionate about early childhood learning and development. They continue to learn and update their own knowledge and lead conversations to build staff members' professional knowledge. High expectations from our leadership team means that we continue to find the work challenging and strive to continually improve. We are motivated to learn, to update our skills and knowledge, and to implement current best practice. Our ECTs and educators are provided with autonomy to lead the program and manage their own time. This includes being able to purchase the resources and materials they need. We have three sections, so the nursery, the toddlers and the preschool section, and each section has their own budget allocated to use, and this can be spent on whatever the team and children need to support their teaching. So it's the little things, the autonomy to purchase what you need without having to go to the director or the assistant director. And when we spend money on resources while we're out and about shopping, this is reimbursed. Work-life balance was important. Each educator, as Helen spoke about as well, each educator is provided with non-contact time every week. So the team leaders and ECTs are provided with 3 hours a week, and the other educators have a minimum of 1 hour. For those educators that are studying, study time is provided, and all of this is planned for. So an educator's wellbeing is treated as a priority. So each month, full-time educators have an RDO, and this is scheduled for the year so that we can plan for our days off. So cover is provided on these days by a centre support educator, or if needed, a relief educator. Leave is also encouraged. whether that be annual leave or sick leave. So empathy and care is shown when we are not at our best, and when educators are sick or needing a mental health day, we are encouraged to take the extra day to fully recover before we return to work. The service also has an employee assistance program for all employees and their immediate families to access. To the ECTs, it was important that we feel supported by our leadership team. Leadership is distributed, shared among section leaders, team leaders, and educators. There's trust, transparency, and mutual respect between leaders and educators. Every month we hold a level 4-5 meeting. So this is a meeting with the leadership team. So the director, the educational leader, the assistant director, and the team leader from each of our rooms. In these meetings, centre events are planned in collaboration. Changes or concerns may be addressed and information is shared. The team leaders take this information back and share it with their teams. The leadership team mentors and supports the growth of all educators, showing respect for where people are at and supporting them to grow. This supports a positive work culture and encourages a professional learning community. But ultimately, we found when we feel appreciated and find our work fulfilling and experience job satisfaction, we are motivated to stay and contribute to the success of the centre. So pay and benefits help, but that's not the only reason that we stay. Other aspects that keep us at university preschool are things that can't be replicated. So like the history of the service, the character of the building, learning from the people who have been employed there for decades, the rapport with families, and having parents who were cared for at the centre all those years ago as babies return now with their own children. So thank you for listening.